So, for the readers who never heard of the band, can you tell us more about you?
Sure. We're called Stormbroken. We're a rock band from the UK. We started out in 2013, and we've since had one EP. We bought out a debut album in 2016, and we're about to release our second album called Ain't Always Easy on the 2nd of March.
All right. If I'm not wrong, you're from Walsall?
Yeah, we're from Walsall in the West Midlands.
Walsall being close to Birmingham, one way or the other, when you're a rock band, are you kind of working or making music in the shadow of Black Sabbath, or I mean, there's a strong tradition there?
Yeah, I mean, the whole of the West Midlands has got quite a big musical heritage. I mean, we've got Black Sabbath, we've got Judas Priest, mm-hmm. Robert Plant came from near where we're based. So we're definitely in the shadows of those guys. I mean, they're legends, and I guess we're just trying to live up to the name now.
Okay, but one way, is that helping, or it's kind of a burden to start?
No, it's not a burden. It's quite nice to be categorised with those guys, to be honest. And we don't get compared to them all that much. So it's just nice to have people ask about other people from the area. You know, it's a good thing, I think.
All right. Maybe to describe your music, but not trying to give names, but maybe by bands or influence that you four share together.
Sure. We listen to a lot of different music between us. I mean, our guitarist, he's obviously into a lot of the guitar virtuoso stuff. Our drummer, she was raised on classic rock. But when we all come together, the middle ground is American modern rock, really. We listen to a lot of that style of music. And I think that comes through in ours as well. We get told quite a lot that we sound, that we've got a little bit of an American edge to us.
Mm-hmm.
So all of the riffs, the melodies and all that sort of stuff we absolutely love. So we try and bring that through in our music.
All right. Because, for example, just to give you my feeling, the first time I've heard the band, I immediately have the name Nickelback in my mind.
Yeah.
And especially you, I think, sometimes you sound a lot like Chad Kroeger.
Yeah, we get that comment quite a lot, to be honest. I think it's mainly due to my vocals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way that I sing. And I think when people first listen to a new band they've never heard before, they automatically try and, you know, compare them to someone who they know and that sort of stuff. And a lot of the time it does come up saying that we sound a bit like Nickelback.
All right. So, as you mentioned, you released the first album, All In Time, in 2016.
Yeah.
So, what's new for you since that release?
We managed to tour a lot off the back of it. We supported Glenn Hughes, we've supported Cheap Trick, and we also went on tour with Living Colour.
Mm-hmm.
But most recently, we recorded the new album. And that is due out in March.
Yeah.
And we're heading back out on the road in a couple of weeks. We're going to tour the UK, and we're going to tour the rest of Europe as well. Following that.
All right. If I check the schedule of the release, so 2014 first EP self released, 2016 the album, and then. And then 2018, the second album. 2 years' time for between each release, it's your natural pace?
I think that's just how it's happened, really. We spent a lot of time on the EP. I mean, the EP was only 5 tracks long. so we spent a lot of time sort of writing those songs and rewriting them and making sure that we get it right. And then we then went on to do the album, and it just sort of fell naturally within the touring pattern that we've had, that it's every kind of 2 years.
Mm-hmm. But you think you could, for example, for the next releases, you could go faster, or...?
I think it'll largely depend on how much time we spend on the road.
Mm-hmm.
We've already started thinking about album number 3 already, so it's going to start taking shape whenever we get any time off, I think, so...
Can you write, or can you write on the road, or...?
I mean, it's doable to an extent, but because we do a lot of our tours and travelling in vans rather than in tour buses, so that it's pretty tight on space to get a guitar out in there.
All right.
And it depends on whether we headline or whether we will be doing a lot of support shows, because with the support shows you don't get a lot of time to soundcheck and to play through some new ideas and that sort of stuff. That being said, we did manage to get a couple of ideas out when we were on the road with Glenn Hughes. So we'll have to see how it goes, I guess.
Okay. And do you have right now in your cell phone ideas of melodies or lyrics or?
Yeah. Whenever I get an idea, whether it's a guitar part or whether it's a vocal melody, I'll sing it into my phone or I'll play it into my phone. So I think I've got upwards of 100 different ideas that I need to crawl through and see if we can use any of it.
Okay, so your cell phone is your chest of hidden treasure, or?
Yeah. I need to not lose it now, because that would be devastating.
Sure. Business-wise, you've signed for the new record on Spine Farm Records, and also, I think, a company is called Uproar.
No. Say that again, sorry.
For the new record, you signed a deal with Spine Farm?
Yeah.
So, from my point of view, it went pretty fast. First the EP, which was self-released, self-financed, then the first record, and then you signed with the big European company. From your point of view, did that go also that fast, or how do you see that?
I think that we were very comfortable with the pace. We were quite surprised by how well the debut album went. In terms of getting into radio and to getting onto tours and things like that, and I think it was just a natural progression. We'd got quite sort of friendly with the guys at Spine Farm. They really liked what we did, and I feel that we made the right decision. They're great guys, and the timing felt right when we were looking to sign.
Okay. Do they manage North America? It's a worldwide deal, or you have different companies for a different area?
No, it's a worldwide deal.
All right. So could that open opportunities to play out of Europe?
Yeah. We are currently looking at playing some shows in America.
All right.
And we've been confirmed for a few shows, and if all goes well, we'll be spending around about 5 weeks over in the States.
Is that kind of how could I say? Kind of in your at the beginning in your dream goals, or stretch goals, I would say, soon will be the one you could click, saying, playing in the United States.
Yeah. From the very start, we knew that we wanted to go over to the States and to try and make some waves over there. So it's definitely been in the plan all along to go over there. But it's really, really expensive to get over there, you know, with visas and all that sort of stuff.
All right.
So this is what I mean by if all goes to plan, then we'll be over there for about 5 weeks. It's you need to make sure that everything falls into place and everything gets pulled off correctly. So we're looking forward to going over there. So
it would be as a support band or headline.
Yeah,
support
band? We've been offered some shows with a band called Adler's Way.
Mm-hmm.
over there, and then there's another band called Sons of Texas, and then we'll be second on.
All right. And on your to-do list, you also have Japan, or?
Yeah, we've got plans again about going over to Japan and seeing what we can do. I think for the majority of the next sort of 12 to 18 months, we'll be concentrating on trying to get into new territories that we've not been to before, and really trying to spread the word about our band.
Good, good. Coming back to the creation of the music, do you have a usual process you go through to give birth to a new song? One of you is coming with a riff, idea, someone. How does it work within the band?
A lot of the time, it'll be me that writes sort of 80 or 90% of the songs. I sing or play all these ideas into my phone. And that's because I'll get an idea at the most random time, so I could be driving in my car or doing something else. And then when we get back to our studio, I'll start to do other tracks and almost complete the song by myself, including the lyrics. But when we come to finalising the song, that's when the rest of the band get involved. They'll all add in their little parts or change these other parts. They want to have a middle eight or they want to have a different bridge section in there. And we make sure that we all agree on all the parts of the songs. So I'd probably say 80 or 90% is done by me, and then the rest of the band come in right at the very end.
All right, but so you provide to the other guys or exchange files, demos of the songs that they can learn the songs or have an idea on it, and then you work all together.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I record all of the songs, and then I literally give the guys the files, and then they can put their own parts over the top, and or they can learn different parts and. Once they learn the parts, they can really sort of see if there's anything that they want to add. A lot of the time, they're really happy with how the song sounds already. Mm-hmm. And but when they want something changed, then we all sort of hash it out and see what we can do to improve it.
But you still live close from each other, and so you can meet as a band or jam or rehearse on a. Frequently?
Yeah, we all live probably about 10 miles away from each other.
Right.
And we have our own studio in Warsaw where we all meet and we can spend as much time as we like in there, making as much noise as we want. So it's a really good setup that we've got.
Okay. How important was it for Ain't Always Easy to record with the same team? Long Wave Recording Studio, with the same producer and so on. How important was it for you?
Well, obviously, having worked with Ramesh before, we knew exactly what his skill set was, and going into the studio, we feel really relaxed because it's like going to record an album with one of your mates, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he because he produced the first album, we told him, you know, we want the next album to be a step up in both songwriting and in production as well. So he knew how to take his production to the next level in order to be bigger and better than All in Time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what's really helped, and we were there for 3 weeks, and we just managed to get all the songs out in one massive three week long session, and it really helped the creative process when we were in the studio.
Okay, and on this new album, do you have any leftovers, I would say, or piece of songs that was supposed to appear on the first one, or it's you start from scratch?
We've got a couple of songs that didn't make it onto the album, but we also didn't finish writing those songs, because we only had 6 weeks to write the album, in total. So we had to make our decisions really, really quickly, and there's a couple of tracks which I weren't happy with, and we didn't really have the time to really sort out, so we've got a few that needs a bit of work, and then we've got about 3 or 4 different ideas, nowhere near being finished songs yet, but, you know, they're solid ideas that we've got.
The pressure comes from the fact that the studio was booked, and so you have to come with songs?
Say that again, sorry?
You meant that you had the pressure that you had to write everything in 6 weeks?
Yeah.
Because the studio was booked?
Yes, exactly. We booked the studio, and we gave ourselves 12 weeks to write the album. And then we were offered a tour with Glenn Hughes, which cut the time down to 6 weeks. So literally we came off tour with Glenn, and then spent 6 weeks writing the album, and then straight into the studio to record it.
It was, you need to work like this under pressure, or you for the future you might need to work a different, or try to find a different way to compose, or?
Yeah, I think next time around we'll try and give ourselves a little bit more time, because it was very, very, very stressful. So yeah, what we'll start doing now is we'll start writing songs when we've got a bit of time off on the road, and start doing it bit by bit rather than in one big lump of time, really.
In retrospect, you would have done things differently? In terms of some songs now we can hear on the album, you would have twitched them differently, or try something else, or try different versions, or?
I don't think that we would have, because we made the decisions really quick while we were writing them. And I think having that added time pressure made us make those decisions quicker than we would have. So I think we actually got the best out of those songs that we could. And we didn't let the time be a factor as such. In deciding when the song was finished, if that makes sense. We didn't say, oh yeah, that'll do, and we'll just put it on the album. But yeah, we made sure that every song was the best that it could be, but it was very stressful. That was the only difference, really.
All right. In your standards, to decide if a song is good enough to appear on the album, how important is the fact that the songs can immediately be catchy or attract the interest of the listener?
That's probably the most important thing, to be honest. We want people, when they hear the song for the very first time, to be able to either nod their head or get into it, or, you know, we want people to go away with their songs stuck in their head.
Yeah.
When I listen to other bands, the main thing that I look for is a catchy chorus or a catchy guitar part. So when we write them, I write it as though, you know, I'm going to be the listener.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, would I like the song if I listened to it for the first time? So that's probably the most important thing that we think about when writing our albums and our songs.
All right. 3 weeks before the release, what's your current state of mind? Are you kind of excited or under pressure to see how the audience will react to the album?
We're really excited. Obviously, we're still, I think we'll always have it, but you're always a little bit nervous just before the release, because you never quite know how it's going to go, but we've had a couple of singles played on radio over here in the UK, and it seems to be going down really well, so I'm really excited to get it out there.
Alright. Talking about the cover picture, how did you manage it? What was your idea? How did you work with the artist in charge?
The artwork was done by me.
Okay.
So it was the vision that I had for the album was, obviously, it's called Ain't Always Easy, which again is, you know, it sort of sets out mentality. You know, there's always going to be tough times, and you're not always going to be happy with everything. And the album sort of illustrates the journey that you need to take with the long road, and the sign that's fallen over is, you know, sometimes things aren't going to go well, but you've got to pick yourself up and you've got to carry on. And that's what we wanted to demonstrate with the album, the cover, you know, with the sunset and the long road, because it's a big journey that we're about to set out on.
Consciously or not, don't you think also the cover picture is kind of looks a lot like North American?
Yeah, I mean, it has got that, you know, Route 66 kind of feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's kind of a visual representation of us. We've got that American style sound, and I think it just fits in with the whole image.
Right. Mm-hmm. Also, talking about visual elements, so you're working on video clips?
Yeah.
I've read, I think, on your Facebook that you're talking about the video for Heartbeat Away.
Yeah.
So it's already the shooting is done.
Yeah, we've done a few different location shoots for Heartbeat Away, and we've got lots of different bits of footage that we're going to put together. And I think I had an email earlier today that we should be getting a draft of it real soon.
All right. And the experience of shooting a video clip, is that kind of a blessing or a necessary pain?
We love every single aspect of putting out a record, and you know, whether that's recording or putting videos together or even, you know, doing interviews and stuff like that. It's all kind of part of the process, and we love every single bit. The video shoot that we did the other day, however, was really cold. We were in a warehouse, and it was freezing. We were there for about 7 hours.
Yeah, and you're doing 10 or 10 of time the same thing.
Say that again, sorry.
And you're doing for I don't know how many times the same thing.
Yeah, we had to play the same thing about 20 times. With different camera angles and different locations, so it's good. It's just it's very long days and you get quite tired, but we all enjoy it anyway.
All right. So basically, what's your hopes and expectations for Stonebroken in the coming months?
We've got the record coming out, so we hope that goes well first. But then we've got the headline tour, and then potentially over to America. So we just want to stay out on the road as long as we can and play to as many people as possible.
Okay. And last two songs, two questions. Sorry. From what do you think from your point of view of the heavy rock British scene?
I think that we've got some good talent coming through. Again, it's because we're so busy with what we do. We don't get to go out to so many gigs and discover new bands. But there's a band that's coming out on the road with us called the Bad Flowers, and again they're making waves over here in the UK. And I just think it's a really good time for rock and roll at the moment.
Okay, and last question, and I don't know if you have any interest in sports, but would you be living close to Birmingham and in Warsaw? Are you more a wanderer or a villain, or neither?
I don't really follow sport, but when I was a kid, I did used to support Aston Villa.
Okay, not anymore.
No, I just concentrate on music now. I don't really have time to keep up with it, really.
All right, okay. Thank you very much for this interview, and my best wishes for the weeks to come.
Thank you very much.
Take care, bye-bye.